A blue bar crosses a black background and condenses into a circle. Touchstone Pictures. A golden light slides along the letters and flashes into a lightning bolt through the circle. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Silver Screen Partners 3. Blue letters in a glowing halo approach from the distance through the starry expanse of space. Apollo Pictures, Inc. A Mount Company production. Large words appear one by one. Can't buy me love. The O in love becomes the image of a teenaged boy's face in glasses and a pith helmet passing behind a cactus. The circular image grows as the letters vanish. The gawky-looking teenager rides a lawnmower through a suburban yard. He cracks a smile. Starring Patrick Dempsey, Amanda Peterson, Courtney Gaines, Tina Kaspari, Seth Green, Sharon Farrell, and Dennis Dugan. He drives along the fence of a long brick house with a Spanish-tiled roof. Co-starring Darcy DeMoss, Devin DeVasquez. Sitting on the fence is a curly-haired, red-headed young boy who hops off and chases the lawnmower as it passes. Eric Bruscotter, Gerardo Mejia, Court McCown. The boy claps for the teenager. The teenager turns down the boy's offer of cookies. As he turns off the lawnmower, he sees a white convertible with three teenaged girls pull into the driveway. He gazes at the girls with his mouth open.
My hair is such a mess! What about my clothes?
Girl. The kid leaves the grinning teenager.
We're so bad. We're so cool.
We've got the class.
On the field.
We'll kick your ass.
My mom's gonna freak.
She is.
Oh, look at that white suit.
It's
a blue dress
that
he bought. It's great.
Love them.
Hi. My credit card, please.
Yeah, here they are in my pockets.
There.
Cindy, I thought I said only the Neiman Marcus card.
But, Mother, school starts on Tuesday.
Cindy, this is what I'm talking about, responsibility. Honey, you're a senior now. Why can't you be more mature like the Miller boy?
Huh? She turns to see the lanky teenager try to start the lawnmower. A clump of grass flies into his face.
It's okay. Oh, Mother, get serious.
The Miller boy rides the lawnmower through an archway. Cloyce Morrow, Steve Franken, Amy Dolenz. He drives the mower around a cactus and into a tool shed. Casting by Caro Jones, choreographer Paula Abdul. He steps out of the shed to see two kids standing beneath a treehouse.
Chucky, Mom told you to stay out of the treehouse. It's dangerous, now get down.
The three teenage girls chat in a bedroom.
Listen, I think that the girls are going to have a little difficulty with that one step,
you know,
that comes with the arms.
I think
up.
We should make it a little harder.
My God, you are stuck.
You know what? Listen, it doesn't matter if they know the whole routine. I mean, we have to look for rhythm.
That's true. I'll get it.
She flops onto the bed and answers a bright red phone.
Hello, Cindy Mancini. Put on Channel 5 Bodies On! Thank
are you serious?
Oh, my gosh!
You've got to be a little homesick.
It is,
let me
Bobby.
Ask you, what's the one special thing you miss most about the old hometown?
Cindy's name on TV!
Mind if I get a little personal? What I really miss the most always made me feel so good after football practice.
You're so lucky.
I miss that hydro massage machine back in the old high school gym.
Well, the old high school misses you too, Bobby Hilton. Good luck with the Hawkeyes. Stocky Jones.
Cindy, you guys, it's no felony. Come on. I mean, he's got a lot on his mind, right? Football and everything?
Yeah. Okay.
Look, we're late, okay?
Let's go.
Cindy picks up a red letter jacket, then looks at it and leaves it on her bed. When she closes the door, there's a cardboard cutout of Bobby posted to the inside. The Miller boy appears at the top of a mound of dirt. He rides his bike down the mound toward a large building with columns and bright red doors. There's a bulldozer adding to the dirt pile. Music composed and conducted by Robert Folk. Cindy leads a line of girls with pom-poms.
5, 6, 7, 8, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, and 4,
the Miller boy watches them through a chain-link fence.
Hit 7, hit 8, all right.
Film editor Jeff Borson.
Okay, good job.
Football players run behind them.
5, 6, 7, 8, and 1, 2, 3, woo! 5, 6, 7, 8, bye, you guys.
Production designer Donald L. Harris. Director of photography Peter Lyons Collister.
Arms up, yes!
Co-produced by Mark Berg. Executive producers Jerry Henshaw and Ron Beckman.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hey, Ronald, thought you were going to meet me in the library.
A boy rides a bike up.
Wear your telescope yet?
Ron Miller turns to him.
You better accelerate. You want to miss a sale of $1,000. It's grand larceny as it is. What, are you worried about the capital outlay?
No, I was just thinking about the cool clique.
Why would you be thinking about them? They're certainly not conscious of us.
That's my point. Wouldn't you like to hang with them?
You have been hanging at Cindy Mancini's lawn for, what, 5 years? I bet she doesn't even know your name.
Ron grabs his bike.
You got a crush on Cindy? Huh?
Ron parks his bike.
No.
Well, most living organisms do, but she's way out of our league. She's even out of their league.
Okay, freeze. Good.
Cindy and her friends sit on the bleachers.
All right. You look good.
Yeah. It's fun.
Oh, good. Look, here comes the freeze master himself.
Lovely ladies, Miss Mancini, looking good.
Thank you.
Like I knew you would.
Why don't you take a shower, Quince?
A cold one?
Yeah, definitely.
10 seconds flat and full pads here. I'll seat this here, no question.
No question.
Hey guys, back to school party in my place.
Good.
I'm there.
I'm thrilled.
Cindy rolls her eyes.
Check it out, dudes. New recruits. Being a senior is going to be a beautiful thing. I can taste it now, man. Hold my pen.
Ron and his friend walk down a school hall.
This is supposed to be the biggest year of our lives. The prom, parties, homecoming. We're supposed to have memories.
Memories? We'll have plenty of memories. Yearbook committee, video parlor, card games on Saturday nights.
Cards are for retards. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Yeah, we do have a lot of great memories. But be honest, wouldn't you like to be popular?
And have to be in a clique? No.
Written by Michael Swerdlick.
What happened to us? We were all friends in elementary.
That's because we were all forced to be in the same room together. But hey, junior high, high school, forget it. Jocks became jocks. Cheerleaders became cheerleaders. We became us. I like us.
I do. I just think it would be more fun to party with those guys our senior year. Go to the games.
We'll go to all the games.
They step into an empty classroom.
We sit in the visiting section, Kenneth. At our own school.
Produced by Tom Mount.
It's incredible. Chances are so slight.
Ron and his friend ride their bikes down the street as a fancy red sports car parks next to them.
Now there's the answer, buddy. If you want to be popular, you get one of those.
An attractive brunette in the passenger seat.
And you get one of those.
Yeah, right. My 1500 wouldn't buy the wheel.
You can rent them, you know.
Yeah.
Ron's friend bikes ahead. Ron drops his arms as he watches the car leave. A man in jean cutoff shorts hoses an old blue station wagon with a logo on the door that reads Tic Tac Tile. Ron watches.
Looks, clean, Dad.
Oh, thank you, son. You know, anytime you want to borrow this little beauty for a night on the town, it's yours.
Directed by Steve Rash.
Thanks.
Ron points to a spot on the car as he bikes away.
You missed a spot here.
I get it.
Ron's dad wipes the windows with a cloth. In the Mancini house, Cindy answers the door. She wears a pink bikini under a large open button-down.
Mother!
Cindy pulls the button-down closed.
Beauty runs in his family, and it runs fast.
Rock? Oh, I see you met my little baby.
Baby? I thought she was your little sister.
Oh, Rock.
Mother. Mom, can I borrow your suede outfit tonight?
Cindy, I said no.
Rock ogles Cindy's mother. Cindy mouths okay.
I'll take care of big sister.
Cindy's jaw drops. Rock steps outside.
Good word, Mom.
Rock takes Mrs. Mancini's arm and sashays toward his car. Cindy rolls her eyes as she shuts the door. Cindy looks cautiously out a window, then strolls down the hall. She steps into a master bedroom and around a neatly made bed with a white comforter and blue pillows with ruffled edges. She opens a folding door and steps into a walk-in closet. She turns on the light to reveal shelves of shoes and a line of outfits on hangers. With a mischievous smile, she walks deeper into the closet and looks through the outfits. She bites her lip and smiles as she removes a golden garment bag. She unzips the bag to reveal a white suede outfit with fringe.
Oh, yes!
A teenaged boy in swim trunks dives into a backyard pool. Other teenagers in bathing suits and towels mill about a large patio. A girl in a bikini rests against a post as the leader of the football players from earlier runs his fingers through her hair.
So, I'm glad you made the squad. You know, you girls are so important to the team. I mean, your help is so crucial between games, too. Keeping our spirits up.
Great! What can I do to help?
Elsewhere, Ron reads a telescope catalog at a dining table.
Ronald, not at the table, please.
He puts down the catalog.
So, have you saved up enough money?
Yeah, $1,500. Yeah, I mowed 331 miles of grass this summer. That's $4.54 per mile.
Mm, the Ronald Miller story. My life on a mower.
How much is the microscope?
Ronald gapes as his dad chuckles at him.
Telescope?
Oh, well.
Now, it's $1,000 and it's on sale. And then I'm going to deposit the rest in a money market account.
I'm proud of you, son. You worked, you earned, you saved.
You ask! Hey, Big Dave, how about spotting me a 20 to purchase some necessities?
Why, what's up, son?
Preschool jam session at Julie's.
Okay. And what about you, Ronald? You got any back-to-school parties lined up?
Yeah, the Saturday night card game.
Ooh, cards with the tarts.
Hey,
bro, I'm only kidding. I mean, who could beat a night of cards, chips, dips, and dorks?
Well, guys, read them and weep.
A baby-faced blonde teenager drops his hand on a card table.
Your deal.
Ron leans back in his chair and stares away from his three friends.
Ronald, your deal.
Ron looks at the boys thoughtfully, then sits up and leans forward.
Let's do something different.
The other three boys look nervously at each other.
What do you mean?
We've been playing poker for 2 years.
The eyes of Ron's friend in glasses dart back and forth as the baby-faced blonde plays with his chips.
Let's play another game.
Dealer's choice.
Ron looks at the other boys, then mischievously licks his thumb.
Hearts.
Cindy, wearing the suede outfit, walks to the buffet table at a house party.
Friend, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. God, can I pet it?
I'm sorry, it's dead.
Ooh, cool outfit.
Ooh. What a severe suede.
Guys, it's no big deal.
Bobby sent it to me from Iowa. You know, they have fine leathers down there.
Oh, yeah. The best leathers come from Rome, Paris, and Des Moines.
I don't remember this. I was just in your closet yesterday.
Cindy shifts nervously.
I probably headed somewhere else. I don't know. Hey, friend, you want to go mingle a little bit?
My mom won't let me near suede. It's too hard to clean.
I know. My mom feels the same way.
A group of girls watch Quint pour himself red wine.
Did I tell any of you girls about my mini scholarship offers?
Hey, John boy!
How
about
we?
Yeah!
Quint's on!
Hey,
oh, watch it!
Quint's red wine splashes onto Cindy.
Sorry, hon.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry, it's only wine. Just rub some salt on it, it'll come out.
Cindy backs away in shock. She lifts her hand to her head and runs away.
I mean, it's not like I ruined it.
Quint turns back to the group of girls. In the bathroom, Cindy removes her jacket and looks at the stains. She wets a towel and rubs the fabric. Her face trembles as she scrubs frantically. She squeezes her lips and starts to cry. Daylight shines through the skylight of a large shopping mall. In a store on the second floor, Ron talks to a man by a telescope. A sign reads, Mead Fifth Telescope, $1,000.
Now, for the same price, I can sell you this 5-inch telescope.
Oh, it's only 5 inches.
Well, it has an optical inverter.
Come on, take a look. Take a look.
Ron takes off his glasses.
Gives you an erect image rather than upside down.
Ron looks through the telescope and sees an upset Cindy carrying the suede outfit through the crowd.
Yeah. Yes. I see the erection.
Ron sees a circular, slightly blurry image of Cindy's profile as she passes behind columns and shoppers. He lifts his head from the eyepiece and looks out through the window. His face softens with concern. He looks back through the telescope and sees Cindy enter a clothes shop. She holds up the suede outfit and starts shouting at a man at the counter.
I'll be right back.
I'll wrap it up for you, Ronald.
The man at the counter looks at the suede.
Yes, I relate to your dilemma, miss. I really do. But we have a policy of no exchanges, especially...
After a garment has been marinated in Ripple?
All right, now I will compromise, all right? I will work here after school and on weekends. Would you listen to me? I will work here after school and on weekends, and all you need to do is give me a replacement outfit as an advance.
Listen, honey, I'll repeat your alternatives one last time. You can keep your outfit and dye the rest of it cranberry, or you can purchase a new one.
Ron watches from outside.
Would you please help me? I will do anything.
Not that.
The man walks away as Cindy leans her elbow on the counter and rests her head on her hand. Ron watches her and nervously squeezes his lips. He looks behind him to see the telescope salesman anxiously watching Ron from the floor above. Ron smiles and fans out a large wad of cash against the store window. Cindy looks behind her to see Ron chuckling as he holds up the money. The telescope salesman looks through the telescope. A round, blurry image shows Ron bounding into the clothing store. Cindy and the clerk look at Ron in shock as he enthusiastically gesticulates and talks.
What are you talking about? Are you high?
I want to rent you.
You want to rent me?
Yeah. You pretend you like me, and we go out for just a few weeks, and that will make me popular.
Just going out with me is not going to make you popular.
Well, I have $1,000. It says it will.
I think you've mowed one too many lawns.
Ron closes his eyes and nods.
You're right.
He lowers the money and turns to the clerk.
I believe we have decided against purchasing the outfit.
He folds the money, puts it in his breast pocket, and walks toward the exit. The clerk sighs and turns. Cindy watches desperately as the clerk puts the outfit back on its hanger and holds the $1,000 price tag in his mouth. She watches Ron pause at the door.
Donald!
She throws her hands up. Later, Ron enters the bustling school hallway and checks his watch. He paces anxiously. Then he sees Cindy step through a nearby door.
Oh, you made it! I was afraid you weren't going to meet me.
Mellow out, Donald. I said 8:05. I'm here, right? Relax anyway. It's only school.
Yeah. Well, this is not my average opening day. I'm about to walk the cool hallway. I usually go the long route through the library.
Would you ease up? I mean, I'm the one who's going to have to hold a press conference when we're sitting together, right?
Right.
Okay, now let's get this deal straight one more time. We only pretend to hang, right? No hand-holding, kissing, and I get my lunch hour off.
Well, that's not our deal. I need more return on my investment.
Well, there's no way I'm holding your hand in public.
I mowed 286 miles for you.
Okay, one lunch.
There are 5 days in a school week.
All right, Donald, two lunches.
Three lunches. And the pep rally on Friday.
Four lunches, that's it.
Okay, deal.
They shake.
Now, just remember, this is our sworn secret for life or longer. You promise.
Yeah, I promise. Anyway, how bad could it be, right? It's only for 1 week.
No, it's 1 month. 1 month.
Yeah, okay, 1 month.
Okay.
Now, if I'm going to do this for 1 day, we have to do something about your style. I mean, it's like non-existent, okay? Take off that hat.
He takes off his beret.
And?
She rubs foam in his hair.
Rub that in.
Ron runs his fingers through his hair.
Okay, take off those glasses. Go. Let me take a look at you. Aye.
She adjusts his hair around his face.
Nope. Turn around.
She rips his sleeve off.
Still. The sleeve. Don't worry about it. Fine. Turn around and back up. Yes. Yes. Big improvement.
Yes.
Okay, Donald. We're ready.
Oh, Cindy, one last thing.
Yeah.
My name is Ronald. Not Donald.
She raises her eyebrows.
Let's do it.
That's right, let's do it. Let's put my collar off.
Cindy walks back into the school hallway. Ronald chases after her and bangs into the center post of the doorframe. Ron and Cindy walk nervously down the hall as students mill about. Cindy avoids eye contact.
What's happening, homie?
They pass by Quint and the other football players.
Yes, it's a basketball trophy. Put it down there. We want ours to be all alone.
Who's the dick with ears?
Oh, yeah, man. It's that Wimpus Miller guy. I don't get it.
It must be for charity.
I think that's Ronald Miller. No way.
They gawk.
It must be a transfer.
her.
Wrong, and I think I'm puking.
Hi, Pat Sparb. You all know Ronnie?
Yeah, I think. Didn't you, like, used to mow our lawn?
Yes. And you have the nicest pair of rhododendrons in town.
Rhodo who?
Dendrums.
I'll see you guys in homework, okay?
Patty and Barb stare with their mouths open.
What did he say? I don't care. Dig on his shirt.
Barb shrugs.
Well, class, any interesting experiments this summer?
Ron's blonde friend stands.
Yeah, well, I grew spores and fungi in my parents' refrigerators.
Now he's homeless.
We didn't meet me in the library.
Sorry, I forgot. You know, first time. What's with the weird outfit?
Ron straightens his sleeveless shirt.
It's a designer original.
Yeah, how's the new telescope?
Well, I didn't exactly buy it yet. $1,000 is a great deal to part with, and I don't...
Mr. Miller, you seem quite talkative this morning. Why don't you recite the bones of the upper appendicular skeleton?
Ronald drops his pencil and stands.
All 64.
Cindy, Patty, and Barb stand around classroom stoves with the leaner and the larger football players. The big guy cracks an egg, then swallows the yolk.
Oh, that's very nice.
God, you are such a pig.
God.
Well, since you guys are all wimping out, I'll get to the main issue here. Cindy, what were you doing with the lawn boy?
We're friends.
Since when?
Excuse me, Cindy. Friends?
Yeah.
Well, what about Bobby? Yeah. Come on, we just want some answers, all right?
Guys, why don't you take a look at my forehead? Do you see a sign that says information?
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't think so.
Ooh. Girl.
Good one.
Two large palm trees and a small field separate the school tennis courts from a large outdoor eating area with long picnic tables. Students roam into the area and sit in groups.
Hey, come on!
A scrawny student carrying a food tray steps out of the building. Quint takes the student's tray and walks off with it. Quint comes to a long table with one young student. Quint looks at the boy. He gets up and gives Quint the table. Ron steps out with Cindy. He carries both of their trays.
I know that lunch was part of our date, but I didn't think it meant the same table.
Well, I thought it would be a little more believable.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Anyway, you did treat me.
They sit next to each other. Quint comes over and slams his hands on the table.
Aren't you in the wrong section? Losers are to the left.
Quint grins.
Then I guess you'll be making a right. That's the asshole section.
Quint snarls, then leaves. Ron watches Cindy pop open her soda can.
Thanks.
Barb bumps into the big football player.
Oh, you need a map, John? We've only been sitting at that table for 3 years.
Well, look, that Wimpus Miller is parked an hour
or so. Lighten up. How bad can it be?
Here's the Cindy, come on.
Cindy takes a deep breath as she sees her friends join them.
You all know Ronnie?
Yeah, we're in sixth grade together, but I haven't seen him since then.
They snicker. Ron smiles excitedly.
I read in the paper that you and Ricky will probably make all county, maybe even all state this season.
Oh, really? You go to the game?
Everyone.
I've never seen you there.
I have. You sit in the visiting section, don't you?
Yeah, he sits there to razz the other team. It's psychological warfare.
Yeah. I almost got my butt kicked 3 times.
That.
Now that's school spirit. Yeah. Risking your life for the team.
I guess.
Yeah.
At another table, Ron's blonde friend joins the other nerds.
Guys, look at this. Ronald's over in no man's land, and he's still alive. What does he think he's doing, Ken?
He must be helping him with their homework.
Yeah. First morning of school, homework. Sure, kid.
Ken leans back and folds his arms in front of the napkin he has tucked into his collar. Elsewhere, casual diners sit outdoors in front of a cafe marked Scoops. Inside, a waitress brings Ron and Cindy a pizza.
Right. Oh, but if my blood sugar level was any lower, I'd be a corpse. Oh, thanks for stopping.
No problem. I stop here every day anyway. Why didn't you eat lunch?
I don't know. I guess I just get nervous around this.
Ricky, John, and Quint enter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey,
Cindy.
John. Ron sighs as they pass.
Now is your chance. Okay, why don't you go over there and invite them to come over here and join us, okay?
Good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Ron gets up and walks over to their table.
Hey guys, come on, Elba. The pizza's on me.
John, Ricky, and Quint surround Ron's pizza and grab slices. They go back to their table. Ron looks despondently at his empty pizza tray and sits. He eats a leftover tomato crumb. In Ron's living room, Dave adjusts a jukebox while Chucky plays a board game with his mom.
Oh, come on, F6. Okay.
Ron comes out in a jacket and tie.
Hey, different outfit, Ron.
Thanks, Dad.
Hey, honey, how's that new microscope?
It's a tel... I decided to wait for the big Columbus Day sale.
Where are you off to?
I'm going to a party. John Richmond's with Cindy Mancini.
Cindy Mancini?
Mm-hmm.
Senior, captain of the cheerleaders?
Yes.
Most beautiful girl in the history of this county?
Mm-hmm, that's her. Well, I'm late. I got a bolt.
Bolt? Something stinks in suburbia.
Chucky gets up and runs after his brother. Elsewhere, Ron takes a deep breath before knocking on Cindy's door.
Who is it?
Ronald.
Cindy's mom looks at Ron in shock.
Oh, Ronald.
Yes, ma'am.
Did I forget to pay you last week?
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm here to pick up Cindy.
Cindy?
Yes, ma'am. Your daughter?
Her jaw drops.
Oh, Cindy!
Bye. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to your mother.
She'll get over it.
Chucky spies on them from behind a tree.
But is something the matter?
Yes, there's something the matter. Ronald, I'm usually picked up in some sort of mechanized transportation, you know.
I'm sorry. It's a nice night, Cindy. It's only a few blocks.
I am not going on a nature walk. I can't believe I let you negotiate a Saturday night. I mean, what? We had lunch all week together. I stood near you in the hall. I even took you out for pizza, and I waved you at the gate yesterday. I mean, Saturday night was not part of our deal.
They arrive at Cindy's car.
Bobby hasn't called.
He looks at her.
I don't think that's any of your business.
She gets in the driver's seat. Ron turns to her. She stares ahead.
Cindy, here Bobby was a big-time football star. But there, he's just a freshman trying to make it.
She looks down. Ron smiles at her.
I'm sure he's thinking about you.
Cindy turns to Ron.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? Hey, I'm the one who forgot my dad's car. It's just that I haven't had that many dates in the last 17 years. So what do you think of this suit, huh? Elegant, darling?
Chucky follows on his bike.
What's a two-word phrase for late and inconsiderate?
At the poker game.
Oh, I got it. Ronald Miller.
Hysterical, he'll be here.
Yeah, he's probably having a late lunch with Cindy.
The least he could have done is drop off the dip and chips. The cold brew is just not the same.
He sips root beer. Elsewhere, John crushes a beer can.
So what's the real reason why they call you Big John?
Well, how about I show you?
Hey, great game, Big John.
Oh, thanks.
Hey.
So, you brought Cindy here?
No. Yes, well, we came from her house together, so, yeah.
Well, hey, anyway, you think you can handle brew?
Sure. You got an A&W?
No, you're a funny guy, though.
Chucky watches the party through a window. John grimaces.
You okay?
Dude, I got a little grimace, man. I mean, bad. Oh, but there's no need for panic because John Richmond is a socially responsible human being.
John backs to the window and sticks his butt out. Chucky collapses.
Hi, Cindy.
Ron hands her a beer.
Hi.
Hi.
People are starting to buy this.
Patty, Barb, and Fran sit together.
I mean, he went from totally geek to totally chic.
Uh-huh. What do you think?
Ron puts his arm around Cindy and sips his beer. Later, Ken watches Ron walk into school.
Fine. Do you want me to give you a ride from after school?
Yes, please. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Which one? No way.
Good morning.
Ken follows Ron down the hall.
Well, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. How was yours?
Well, Friday, nearly got my face rearranged by a visiting fan trying to save you a seat. And Saturday, you stood us up for cards. And hey, Sunday, never returned any of my calls.
Sam, I'm sorry.
Yeah, for which one?
I said I'm sorry. Can we please terminate this?
Fine.
Ken walks away.
Hey, Ken.
Let's do something this weekend, just me and you.
Ken nods.
Okay, Friday night.
I can't.
Saturday.
Well, I was thinking more like Sunday afternoon.
Ken stiffens.
Great, I'll call you for an appointment.
Oh, great, all right, I'll see you Sunday.
Ken watches Ron walk over to John and Ricky.
Yo, gentlemen, babe.
How's it going?
Cindy watches Ron wash her car.
You know, when I offered you a ride home, it wasn't to get you to wash my car.
I don't mind. Actually, I kind of like it.
Hey, you're a hard worker. Work's not really my thing.
Cheerleading's hard work. You do it well.
I guess. But, I mean, what I mean is that I don't do much else except for shop and hang out.
You can do anything you want. Anything you put your heart and your mind into. I believe that.
Cindy gets up from the grass and smiles. She brushes her hair back as she walks over to Ron.
I'll be right back. Do you want anything from the kitchen or anything?
No, thanks.
They smile.
Okay.
Ron watches her go inside. He half dances as though punch drunk as he picks up the hose. Once she's inside, he resumes rinsing the car. In her bedroom, Cindy goes to a narrow bookcase and moves some books out of the way. She reaches into the back and takes out a small stack of papers. She looks at them thoughtfully. As Ron, no longer wearing a shirt, towels off the car's windshield, Cindy walks up behind him carrying the papers.
Here.
He trades her the towel for the papers. He starts to read. Cindy watches him nervously. Ron looks at her with his mouth open, then continues reading. Her hair flutters in the breeze.
Someday my wish is for him to hold me in his arms, in a sea of deep blue. Together at last, together as two. Oh, that's beautiful. I didn't know you were a poet.
No one knows.
Even Bobby?
She shakes her head sadly. Ron nods.
Thank you for trusting me with these.
Cindy looks down and sprays the car.
Well, let's just keep it between us, okay? For life or longer. Promise?
Promise. But you should be proud of it. You're talented.
She sprays his pants.
And you're drenched.
She chases him around the car. He throws a sponge at her. Later, Ron looks in a shopping bag as they walk through the mall.
You really like this?
Yeah, I do, but you're missing one big essential here.
You're sure?
Yeah.
What am I missing?
I'd like to see those, please.
A salesman hands her fashionable sunglasses from a clear case. She puts them on Ron's face.
Ah, very cool.
How much are they?
Don't worry about it. They're on me.
She fans credit cards.
Sure, be trying to buy
it. Yeah, but we buy some credit.
Cindy drives as they pull into the high school parking lot. Ken watches them as he locks his bike to a rack. Ken watches them playfully climb out of Cindy's car. Ken shakes his head. Later, Ron, wearing his new sunglasses, walks with Cindy out of his house. He carries a long white box.
Okay. Bye, Cindy. Bye-bye. Good to see you, honey.
Can't believe you won't tell me where we're going. What are we doing? Horseback riding? A picnic?
Nope. Since it's our last official date, I thought we could check out one of my favorite places.
Well, what's in the box?
You'll find out.
Okay.
Trust me. It'll be fun.
Ron opens the passenger door and leaps through it into the driver's seat. As soon as Cindy gets in, he peels out of the driveway. The car comes to a stop in front of a white shack that stands next to a large concrete wall.
Okay, let me guess. What, are we out of gas? Come on, Ronald, I thought we outlawed this kind of stuff.
Follow me.
Wait a second, you're nuts. I mean, I don't usually scale walls on dates.
You can do it.
Of course I can do it.
Ron takes the long box and climbs onto the shack, then looks over the top of the wall. Cindy uses the car to climb after him.
Whoa.
Over the wall, they see rows of airplanes in a vast dirt field.
I've heard about this place.
The planes shine in the sun.
The airplane junkyard.
Graveyard.
Later, they walk along the fuselage of a bullet-ridden World War II-era plane.
This is the real history, not the stuff we memorize in books.
Ron touches and gazes at the plane admiringly. Cindy looks under the wing.
Are these real bullet holes right here?
Yep. Follow me.
Ron holds the long box in front of him like airplane wings as he leads Cindy over to another World War II era fighter. This one has a rusted nose where the propeller should be.
The Navy found this one last year off the coast of Japan.
They run their hands along the plane as Ron leads Cindy to the nose.
They did a corrosion study on it. After 40 years at the bottom of the ocean, this is all it rusted.
He gazes into the propeller opening.
My grandparents sure knew how to make things that last.
Cindy looks at Ron.
How do you know all this stuff?
Well, the pilot who ditched it in 1944, he came back a few weeks ago to take a look at this. He stood here and looked at this thing the whole day.
Ron and Cindy step back and admire the plane. Later, they sit in an abandoned helicopter at night, and Cindy looks at the moon through a homemade cardboard telescope.
There are mountains up there.
And valleys. Canyons and plains.
What's that thing up there that looks like a star sapphire? What's that?
Tycho. An asteroid crashed there and broke the moon.
Broke the moon?
Yeah. Made a crack in the moon 100 times the size of the Grand Canyon. And on the right is a sea of tranquility. The first spaceship from Earth landed there. The day I was born.
Cindy pulls her eye away from the telescope.
That's why you're so into astrology, right?
Astronomy.
Cindy hands him the telescope.
No. It's just... up there is a future world. By the time of my dad's age, people will be living there and working. Maybe even us.
Ron looks through the telescope. Cindy turns and gazes at him, her lips a little parted. In front of Ron's house, Ron and Cindy lean back in the front seats of Cindy's convertible and look up at the night sky.
The moon looks different now. It's not as mysterious or romantic.
I'm sorry I ruined it for you.
She plays with her hair.
You didn't ruin it. You just changed it, I guess.
Ron sits up straighter and fidgets.
There's something really important we need to discuss.
Cindy leans in provocatively.
I was wondering when you'd bring this up.
Ron gulps.
I'm new to all this. We're gonna have to rely on your experience.
Cindy rubs her arm and smacks her lips.
Well, let's just do it naturally. You know, with no planning.
How do we do it? Our official breaking up tomorrow.
Her face sinks.
Right. Right, that's exactly what I was thinking about. The breakup, us ending our fake relationship. I mean, I don't even know whoever believed it. Us going out, you, me, right.
Yeah, it does seem kind of unrealistic.
Ron looks off sadly, then gets excited.
Okay, so... how shall we do it? Stage a big fight? A lover's quarrel?
Cindy tightens her forehead.
No, we don't have anything to fight about.
Oh, that's okay. We can make something up. Let's see what people fight about.
Well, we wouldn't want to damage your reputation.
Reputation?
And I think a small, dignified ceremony is probably the best way to...
me?
With the to do that.
Yeah! I can't believe it.
Cindy rolls her eyes as Ron gets out.
Thank you, Cindy. Have a good night now.
Ron grabs his box. He dances his way inside.
I got a reputation, baby!
Cindy looks straight ahead as she walks through a crowd outside school. She sees Ron standing on a low wall. Quint and some other students are gathered in front of Ron. They watch him undulate his arms in a breakdance move. He spots Cindy, takes off his sunglasses, and hops down.
Hi.
Hi.
He checks his watch.
I did a little thinking about last night, mm-hmm. And I think that now is the time that we had our little talk.
About what?
Us. You know, me.
Ron takes a deep breath and nods.
Okay.
Well,
He steps to the other side of her.
I did a little thinking, too. No, actually, I did quite a bit of thinking, and I decided that you're breaking me.
What?
Broke. Bankrupt. Chapter 11?
What are you talking about?
He opens his wallet.
This. I'm dry. Hey, I can't keep up with you. I'm not a bank. 11.
Would you stop it, please? This isn't dignified.
Dignified?
Yeah.
She looks at him pleadingly.
For 1 month, you draped all over me like a cheap fucking suit. Now I'm not dignified?
This is not necessary. Would you show some maturity?
Like your precious Bobby?
Yeah.
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 Well, if I was as mature as him, I probably wouldn't have called you either.
She looks at him in shock.
I'm tired of you comparing me to Bobby. And in fact, I'm tired of you. Period.
She slaps him and marches away. He touches his cheek. Patty and Barb look on.
Poor Cindy. It's awful the way Ronnie annihilated her.
I mean, I don't know what she ever saw in him. He's such a heartbreaker.
Yeah, that's it.
The roster, man. You're one badass dude. Hey, listen, you don't mind if I try to get tired of Cindy now that you're finished with her, do you?
No.
I loved it, man.
Ron leans on a post and considers. He smiles, dons his sunglasses, and ambles off. Later, he rides his bike after Cindy's car. She parks in front of her house. Ron takes off his sunglasses and leans on the car.
I was a great act this morning. That slap was so real. We are talking Oscar nominations.
Mm. Yeah, well...
She grimaces.
We gave him a good show. The audience loved it.
What an excellent 4 weeks. Your friends really took to me. All because of you.
Ron, it was like a job. I mean, you bailed me and I pretended to like you. And I was only honoring our rental contract.
Yeah, well, it worked. Jeez. Popularity sure beats being treated like a social leper. Let me tell you.
Popularity isn't perfect. I mean, it almost feels like a job sometimes. Do you remember that suede outfit that I wore?
Yeah.
Yeah, well... That was me trying to impress people. I have to work at it. So does everybody else.
Ron frantically takes off his backpack and reaches into it.
Cindy? So keep your poetry in.
Ron gives her a nice leather folder.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She pauses at her front door and turns to him.
Ronald. Whatever happens with the popularity thing, you know, stay yourself. Don't change to please them.
Ron looks at her softly.
Me change? Never.
Ron struts down the school hall.
That's right, I'm here. Hey, babies, how you doing, man? Good to see all the ladies. You're beautiful. That's right. Mom, Dad, send money, please. I'm broke. Hey, man. Good to see you, guys. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Oh, you can handle one day. We'll go to
school. Oh, ladies. You're looking fine, this Sam.
Thanks, Ronnie. Looking rather tasty yourself.
I love your hair. It's so saturated.
Oh, it's nothing major. Just a little.
Yeah, 42 gallons.
You're taking me to Scoop Saturday night.
Saturday? Yeah, I believe I have that evening liberated.
Wonderful.
I hope so.
Ronnie, this is going to be tougher than I thought. I'm going to need your advice.
Barbara, I was going to ask him out.
Relax, Pats. It's only October.
Yeah, right.
Patty shoves Barb and storms off. At night, Ron drives Barb in his dad's car. The tile logo is covered with cardboard.
How about some tunes? Your dad sell aluminum siding?
No, he's the president of Tic Tac Tiles. Why?
This car sort of reminds me of my granddad's.
Chucky hides under a blanket in the back.
So how come you asked me out?
You went out with Cindy. She is Cindy Mancini.
You can't argue with that logic.
Groups of teenagers mill about outside Scoops. Ron's car parks. Ken and Ron's other two nerd friends look up from some arcade games.
Hey, look, there's Ronald in his dad's Chrysler.
Ron gets out.
Good evening, gentlemen. Sure.
He opens the door for Barb.
I love station wagons.
I'll tell you what, you may like it, but once the cool see that car, they're going to remember who he is.
Yeah.
This is an interesting mode of transport. Sort of antiquated, like.
Yeah, I call it my undercover car.
Oh, you snake. Don't be shifty with the boys. This car's perfect, complete with plush blanket. That's strategy, my man, all right.
This ain't just a car, man. This is an unleaded love machine.
Yeah, unleaded.
Bet you can make some sweet sweat back there, huh, Barb?
Hey, no complaints out of me.
Yeah, those jocks sure have great tasting cars, huh?
Shut up, Lester.
Shut up.
I just don't get it.
I propose we look for a new fourth.
Ron feels Chucky's head and back.
Guess so. Uh-oh, I know that look.
Okay, now hold your fire, Big John. Nobody's into toxic waste.
Ron positions John's butt against the back window.
Right there, perfect.
That takes me skill.
Oh, I don't know. For him, it's like an art form.
Oh, that's a real pleasant thought, Ronnie.
Oh, come on, we're guys.
Yo, Pats, keep an eye on my guy. I gotta hit the little girls.
All right, hurry up.
Chucky opens the car door.
Air!
He collapses out onto the pavement.
Guess what?
What?
You're taking me to the Columbus Day dance on the 16th.
I am?
Yep.
Well, what about Barbara? I thought she was your best friend.
Well, she is. But, I mean, you know, friends share their stuff with friends, you know what I mean?
Okay, here you go. Sure, friend, no problem.
I bet you're a really sexy dancer.
Oh, yes, you won that wager. I have moves that defy the laws of gravity.
Ooh, I'll bet you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you later, okay? Bye.
Patty squeezes his butt cheek, then leaves. Ron looks off with a worried expression.
Dancer. Moves. Shit.
In a girl's locker room, Barb fixes her hair as Patty walks up.
So, how was he?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Don't worry, I will.
Patty turns and notices Cindy glaring at her.
I bet you're a really sexy dancer.
Lying in bed, Ron opens his eyes with a flash of terror. He sits up and looks at his alarm clock. It says 11:22. A television shows professional wrestling. Chucky scoffs at it.
Come on. Watch this. I'll bet I'll kick him.
One wrestler kicks the other.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, I need a TV for a few minutes.
No.
Oh, Chuck, I just need to see the end of American Bandstand.
No.
Please, Chuck, I'm begging.
What we have here is something I just learned called the law of supply and demand. I shall supply you this remote control, but I'm going to demand, say, $2.
Wrong. That is not how the economic theory works.
Look, I learned it in seventh grade, not Harvard.
Okay, let me give you the theory of relativity. Either you put on Bandstand now, or I have one less relative.
I'll put on Bandstand just for you.
He browses channels.
A famous gourmet pop.
A man and a woman dance in a spotlight.
Spotlight dance. Ultra new wave music.
Chucky hops off the counter and leaves. The man and woman on television shake their arms and wave their bodies in a large percussive dance step. Ron copies their eccentric moves. In the yard, Chucky addresses their parents.
He's watching American Bandstand. I'm talking cheerleaders, football players, local socialites. He's not even associating with Kenneth anymore.
Come on, Chucky. I think it's groovy that he's making new friends. He's allowed to have fun.
He is. Besides, I was talking to my dad. It's like the dude's not weird anymore.
Ron's mom puts down her garden shears and looks off. Inside, Ron pumps his arms and wiggles his body, mimicking the television. He sees Chucky enter and flees. Chucky walks into the kitchen and picks up a bowl of popcorn. He watches the strange dance conclude. A black man in traditional African clothes steps in front of the camera.
Now that ain't Dick Clark.
We thank our two exchange students from Lower Swahili, Charles Kibengi and Sunday Ubuki, for recreating the African anteater ritual here on PBS African Cultural Hour.
Ron and Patty enter a high school gym filled with students dancing beneath suspended balloons. They stare at the dance floor. A live band plays on stage in front of the crowd.
Hey, let's go down.
Hey, I'm in a band, you know, I don't quite affiliate with this tune.
That's cool, all right.
Cindy enters with a long-haired boy. He puts an arm around her waist. She folds her arms and walks forward. In the hall, a boy hands out tickets.
Here you go. Thanks.
Ron's nerd friends approach the ticket boy.
That's $1 apiece, guys.
Kenneth, this is your big idea. Why don't you pay for this?
Ken reaches into his pocket, then points. They all turn to a beautiful girl in a white dress.
Come on, you guys.
They watch her backside swivel as she climbs a staircase. In the gym, students and partners hold each other and sway to a slow dance. The singer leans over his mic. Cindy's long-haired partner tries to pull her closer. She pushes back. Ricky's partner looks up at him suggestively.
So do you work as hard off the field as you do on?
Well, I did letter in 3 indoor sports.
A matronly woman watches the students. The science teacher walks up wearing a suit.
What a wonderful group of young adults we have this year.
But I better check the bathrooms.
He leaves. In the bathroom, Ron hops, shifts, and waves his arms as he practices the anteater ritual. The teacher walks in.
Hello, Ronald.
Hi, Mr. Webley.
Ron fixes his hair. Ron's nerd friends, including a new fourth, watch the dance floor and clap for the band.
Let's mingle.
Look, it's a nerd herd.
They see Quint glaring and react uneasily. They step back and sit on some bleachers. Ron and Patty stand over the punch bowl.
Ronnie, I'm becoming a punchaholic.
Ron pours his punch cup back into the bowl, then takes Patty's cup and does the same. The band singer pumps his fists into the air as they resume playing.
Sit out there and dance. I mean, this is a dance. What we're here to do, right, is dance. Come on, please, let's get out there and boogie.
Let's dance!
Woo! Let's dance!
Ron leads her to the middle of the floor.
All right!
Ron closes his eyes and steadies himself. Ron starts the anteater ritual. Patty watches him quizzically. She looks around, embarrassed. Others, including Cindy, begin to notice.
It's bad. Oh, he must be in special ed.
People stop and stare. Patty unsurely begins to copy the anteater ritual. The whole floor circles around them.
That's bizarre. Yeah, but if the roster's doing it, it must be new.
Ricky and his partner begin to copy the anteater dance. John follows suit. Cindy watches in disbelief as Barb joins in. More people join in. Cindy rolls her eyes and pulls her date away from the dance floor. The anteater ritual gradually spreads through the crowd. Mr. Webley turns to the matronly chaperone and chuckles.
Hey, it's an African anteater ritual!
Ken and the other 3 nerds laugh and point at the sea of students pumping and waving their arms in unison. Outside Scoops, Patty has her arms around Ron as John and Barb sit nearby. Ricky and his date join.
Oh, I had a great time.
Hey, nice. That dance was pretty severe there.
Yeah, where'd you get those hot moves?
I have friends in exotic places.
Oh, yeah, like where? Rio?
Paris?
Oh, really exotic.
Beautiful downtown Burbank.
Cindy!
Cindy turns to him.
Look, the name is Cindy, and don't call me babe.
She walks away.
Just want to say hello.
Then just say it.
Oh, why don't you get tranquilous? Just trying to be friendly.
Why don't you be friendly with your flock, okay?
I owe all my friends to you.
Ha! Like I really want credit for this. I mean, your disciples are making fools of themselves. I mean, I've seen zombies with more individuality.
Yeah, like your college boy. What's his name? Biff?
Don't give me that. His name happens to be Brent.
He nods as she leaves.
There's a difference?
Cindy walks over to her long-haired date, Brent, and his white sports car. Ron pushes off a post in frustration. Later, Ron and Patty sit in the front seats of his car. Ron stares ahead thoughtfully as Patty turns to him.
Alone at last.
She leans in and smiles.
Hi, friend.
Hi.
She leans back seductively.
You're awfully far away.
Sorry.
He shifts. She removes her blouse.
So tell me, are you into long-distance relationships?
No.
No? Then why don't you reach out and touch someone?
Ron gapes.
Hello.
I happen to know that in the whole school, there's only one other titty quite this pretty.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And this is it.
He looks at her chest.
Yep. That's it.
I bet you've never seen two like these before.
Well, my parents do have cable.
Oh, they do, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Don't you want to touch me?
Oh. Wow. Can you believe this?
In the back of the car, Chucky covers his ears beneath the blanket. Under the sheets of his bed with a flashlight, Ron uses a marker to cross dates off a calendar.
17 years, 3 months, and 5 days. Whew, that's a long time to wait for some tit.
Footage shows the moon.
Without an atmosphere, the Earth would be a far different place. It might look like the moon. Our exploration of the moon showed us that it is nearly a dead planet today.
Ron watches in a class.
But it provided one very important piece of information.
Ken turns to him.
I haven't seen or heard from you in 3 weeks. Meteorite impacts. I'm not a mutant, Ron. I realize I may be obsolete in your new world, but I'm not dead.
Ron is motionless.
We know now that the moon, as well as all the other bodies in the solar system, were heavily bombarded in their first 1 billion years.
Ken removes Ron's sunglasses and sees him sleeping.
This bombardment slowed to a
Chucky and Dave hang a Halloween monster over their front door.
You got it there, son? Whoa, Ronald! No mischief tonight. Now the police are really cracking down this year.
Ed, come on, have a little faith.
An orange van pulls up behind him.
See,
Dave smiles as Ron leaves.
All right, we set up there?
Yep.
The van drives through town.
Check it out. We got spoiled tomatoes, rotten eggs, and the piece de resistance.
The ship bomb!
Ron's smile fades.
Human feces?
Nah, doggy do. But it's just as efficient, bro. Here, sniff.
A sniff? This? God!
Hey, Ronnie!
Take it. What's that? What are we doing?
Oh, dude, classic, man. We have done the same house 4 years in a row. It's like tradition now, huh, Ricky?
You know it.
A man looks up a tree.
And your son is the most important mission. Drop that net on any punk that gets near our front door.
Ken drops from the branches and dusts himself off.
I'm gonna personally deliver one of them to the police.
Yes, sir.
Ken and his younger brother salute before they scatter to their posts. Ken takes a rope from the branches and runs the end through a trellis in front of the house. He pulls the slack and hides behind a bush. Cindy drives with Barb and Patty.
Oh, I was telling you, this guy is like
totally.
Excuse me. Ronnie said that you said that friends share, Patty. You've had him 2 weeks
mean she's
and
attacked him for 2 weeks.
Whoa, wait a minute. First of all, if I recall correctly, you still have Bobby. Secondly, you quit Ronnie, so that makes him public property.
You guys, that's real romantic. I mean, he sounds like a restroom. First of all, I don't have Bobby. And secondly, I didn't think that my best friends would be draped all over him like a cheap...
Why not, Sin? He's cute, sweet, good.
Cindy and Barb turn to Patty.
Oh, come on, you guys. A lady never talks.
Yeah, next time I see one, I'll remember that.
Barb and Patty open their mouths in shock. With the headlights off, John slowly pulls the van in front of a house.
You're sick. There's the target.
Ron's face sinks at the sight of Ken's house.
You know, I know a better house. It's not very far from here. It's right down the street.
Our senior year. Our last mission.
John crosses himself.
Final ship bomb.
It's tradition and shit. Let's go!
Come on!
John, Ricky, and Ron head out the back of the van. In the garage, Ken's father walks impatiently. Ken's younger brother tests the high-powered attachment to his hose. Ken holds his rope and peers over the top of his bush.
Listen up. With your foot up on each flank, and you sit by the front door.
No, I won't do it.
I told you you wouldn't.
You're still a nerd, huh?
Give me this shit.
No, I'll do it.
Come on.
They fan out, Ron carrying the plastic bag of poop. Ron stops behind the tree with the net.
I don't want to do this.
John takes the rotten eggs and hides behind a tree. Ricky crouches and hurls a tomato. It splatters next to Ken's brother. A rotten egg flies into the wall next to Ken's father. He cowers behind his car. Ken's brother crouches at the ready with his hose.
Do it now! Come on, Ronnie!
Throw it, Ronnie!
Throw it!
Come on, throw it!
Come on!
Ron hurls the bag into the door.
Yeah, hold on.
Ken drops the net as Ron flees.
I got one!
Stop coming!
No, you're not! Keep it pinned down!
Ken jumps on the net as Ron struggles to free himself. Ken sees his face.
Ronnie, let's go! Come on! Get the hell out of there!
Ken lets him go and sits in shock.
Come on, John!
Yeah! Get out of here, man!
You hold a little bastard! Come on, let's go!
Ken's father runs up.
There must have been a hole in the net.
We'll get him next year.
He pats his son reassuringly.
I don't think he'll be back.
Ken stares out thoughtfully. Dave carves a turkey at their dining table.
This is a fine-looking bird, Judy.
This is what got me an A in French class.
He points to a doll dressed as Marie Antoinette.
Ronald?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ron takes a small plate of salad.
Let's see yours, sibling.
Chucky decapitates the doll with a model guillotine.
I didn't get mine yet.
You're the only one from kindergarten through college who didn't.
You didn't get yours yet?
Let me repeat, I did not get mine yet.
Relax, there's no reason to raise your voice.
Ron's head drops. Elsewhere, Brent parks with Cindy at Scoops.
Back to nursery school.
Cindy stares ahead.
Look, these are my friends, okay?
Hey, you could say hello to your friends when you gave me a chocolate milkshake extra thick.
What?
Read my lips. Chocolate milkshake extra
Cindy rolls her head as she gets out of the car. Back in the dining room, Dave looks at Chucky's report card.
Two C's, three B's, and one A. Outstanding, son.
Major improvement, Chucky.
Oh, yeah, big deal. Three B's and two C's. I've been getting straight A's since birth.
So?
So? So everybody doubts the whereabouts of my report card. That's real fair.
Nobody doubts you. You said you didn't get it yet.
And I didn't.
Hey, it's just parental concern, bro.
See, here is the primate example. You're raising a dog-chopping homicidal maniac. And what do you do every time you see him? You give him money.
Ron lifts the headless doll.
Great.
He drops it on the table and gets up.
Chilling.
Shut up, Chuck.
Chucky stops smiling.
I was talking to Ma, Dad.
Shut up, Chuck.
At Scoops, Cindy walks up to Brent.
Here's your shake.
Brent barely acknowledges her as he takes the shake and continues wiping the hood of his car.
Thick. This isn't thick.
He gives it back to her.
Oh, well, let me check the consistency.
She pours it over his head. It drips onto the hood.
Looks thick to me.
No.
Brent frantically rubs the chocolate shake off his white car. In the Mancini home, Cindy walks in to see her mom standing in a pink bathrobe.
Oh. I thought you had a date with Rock. Well, I figured I had enough turkey for one day.
Me too.
There's a good movie on TV.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's make it a date.
Oh, sweetheart. Love you.
I love you too, Mom.
At school, Ken storms into the hallway as Ron chases after him.
Hey, Kenneth.
Ken won't look at him.
Let me explain. It's been long enough. Will you talk to me, damn it?
Ron stops when he sees John and Ricky.
Well, have you away, psycho, but you ain't invited.
Invited to what, man?
Let's go. What are you talking
my
about?
House?
New Year's Day?
Party?
Bowl games?
Right. Party?
Cheesecake? Right. Yeah!
Oh, man, though, if I can recover from my party, they'll book me a couch, though.
You got it?
Book me a bed.
Yeah.
We
have
money. Somebody wants her ass bad, man.
They turn Ron to face an attractive girl.
Get it?
She smiles seductively. Then, Cindy steps between them.
Hey. Hi. Long time no talk, huh?
Yeah, I've been kind of busy.
Yeah, well, that's popularity, you know. It's real time-consuming.
Ron looks at Quint.
I was thinking that maybe sometime you and I could go to the airplane graveyard.
You're not under any contractual obligation to me anymore.
Quint sticks out his tongue lewdly.
I wrote a new poem. It's called Broken Moon. It starts...
Why don't you save it for your college boy?
I wrote it for you.
You ignored the Donald Miller dork for 17 years. Now you want to ride on the Ronnie Miller Express.
I don't want to ride the Ronnie Miller anything.
Looks like you're the only one.
Cindy sees the attractive girl eyeing Ron.
Who? Iris? Oh, yeah, she's a big conquest. She's given more rides than Greyhound.
Ron looks away.
Well, at least her ticket won't cost me $1,000.
Cindy looks at him sadly, then walks away.
Cindy.
He chases after her. Iris blocks him.
Hi, Ronnie.
Party guests arrive at a house with Christmas lights. Quint rides up on his motorcycle and parks. John, wearing a tuxedo and sunglasses, welcomes people at the front door.
Happy New Year, bro. Happy New Year, man. Have a beer.
Quintowski! Big John!
They high-five.
Quinton is in! Let the fun begin!
God, you're an asshole, man.
Cindy fills a cup from a punch bowl. Barb walks up.
Hey, powerful punch, Barb.
I didn't pour the punch in yet. Oh, yeah? Cindy, that's straight vodka.
All right.
Great outfit.
Yeah, well, I just asked my mom if I could use it, and she said yes.
Oh, progressive concept.
Well, we make a great couple, me and my outfit.
Oh, sorry Bobby couldn't come home for the holidays. You must really miss him.
Quint swishes a glass of wine as he talks to a girl.
I've learned to appreciate the finer things in life. I even travel with my own wine. You never know the quality you may encounter at a soiree.
She sniffs and recoils.
Very classy.
Quint swigs from the bottle.
I'm into class. It's my new thing.
Cindy opens a bedroom door and finds a couple making out.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. I'm so dumb. So wasted.
She takes her jacket off as she staggers down the hallway.
Hey, take it easy, you guys. Jeez.
She looks in the bathroom.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm going out the hottest guy in school.
Oh, I am hot.
Face it, Ronnie. You're it right now.
Oh. I'm it, and that's why you're with me.
She watches Ron slide his hands up Iris's dress.
Oh, you won't respect me.
I respect you immensely. And intensely.
I do.
This summer, my wish is for you to hold me in your arms in a sea of deep blue. Together at last. Together as two.
Oh, Ronnie.
Cindy fights back tears and turns and leaves. Outside, a man in an Iowa jacket knocks on the door.
Damn, Bobby, what are you doing here?
It's New Year's.
Quint pours wine in front of a girl in a blue dress.
So, Ricky and Don tell me that you're a connoisseur of fine wine.
No shit. Are you new here?
Uh-huh, just transferred.
Hmm. Thanks for coming out, you one.
Patty adjusts a decorative New Year's Eve clock on the wall.
Hey, you guys, it's 11:27.
Ronnie, Iris, come here, have a crowd.
True friends and a loyal lady. The only way to fly.
I'll drink to that.
Ron drinks a beer between Iris and John.
Check it out, Bobby.
Ricky leads Bobby into the party. He sees Ron drinking with John and Iris.
Man, come here. What's happening, Star?
Quinton, who's Iris's latest victim?
Iris drapes herself on Ron.
Oh, you got it backwards, Bobby. He's victimizing her.
Bobby blinks in surprise.
Ronnie Miller's nailed every wench in school.
Ronald Miller? He couldn't get nailed in woodshop.
Well, the man has reached legendary status this year, bro.
You ain't a legend, T-Score, the captain of the cheerleaders.
Quint and Ricky grow serious and look away from Bobby.
Come on, I don't buy it. Cindy?
Hey, no freaking way.
Bobby grabs Quint.
Come on, Quint. Even think of holding out on me.
I'll kill you.
Quint glances at Ricky, who covers his face. Cindy, carrying a plastic cup, drunkenly bumps into a plant. She looks up and sees Bobby sternly talking to Quint. She tries to focus.
Bobby!
Bobby looks around searchingly, then angrily shoves Quint out of the way.
Hi! How are you?
Bobby pulls Cindy into the kitchen and slams the door.
John!
You're done.
Cindy and Bobby's relationship is so totally together.
Come on, boy. He makes 35 cents an hour.
Listen up, dude. This shit's gonna hit the fan.
Serious. And I'm not gonna put up
with it. We were faking, okay?
Bullshit!
No, it was an act. Bobby, he paid me.
Then that makes you a prostitute.
You.
She glares at Ron across the room. The guests all freeze as Ron shifts nervously. Cindy throws her drink onto the turntable, stopping the record.
You! Even Bobby thinks we went out. Great, huh? Ha! All of you thought we were a couple. What a joke! Ronald Miller paid me 1,000 bucks to pretend I liked him. What a deal, huh? $1,000 to go out with him for a month. This guy.
Iris and John back away from Ron.
Oh, God. He bought me. And he bought all of you. He was sick and tired of being a nobody. Yeah, and he said that all of you guys would worship him if we went out. And I didn't believe that. I was like, no way. And he was right. No, he was right. Our little plan worked, didn't it, Ronald? A dance. A stupid dance. What a bunch of followers you guys are. I mean, at least I got paid.
She stumbles.
Come on.
Patty and Barb help her into the kitchen. Ron looks around him.
Ricky? John?
They turn their backs on Ron. Ron sees Quint and the rest of the guests looking at him disapprovingly. He looks at Ricky and John.
Get out of my house.
Ron steps into the middle of the room.
Yeah, we'll clear everything up tomorrow. Everything is cool, really. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Thank you. Excuse me.
Ron turns sideways to squeeze through a crowd that refuses to get out of his way. He turns to Iris.
You ready to go?
I don't know you.
You sure knew me earlier.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ron nods at the party, then opens the door.
Happy New Year.
He forces a smile before exiting. Ron rubs his face and nose as he walks down the driveway. He swings his arms sadly. Inside a passing car, Ken talks to Ron's old group, plus their new fourth.
I mean, it could be worse. He could be alone like that poor guy.
Ken points out the window at Ron as they pass him. Ron walks with his face down and his shoulders slumped. Ron walks through the archway into his front yard and sees a lively party through his front windows. He stops and watches Chucky's friends dance. They're doing the African anteater ritual. Ron shakes his head as his eyes water. He turns away. Inside the shed, Ron takes a burlap sack off a hook and lays it on the floor. Ron lies on the sack and looks up at the ceiling. He sobs and turns off the light. Students walk along the pavement in front of the high school. Rain is falling. Inside, Ron walks into the corridor and takes off his sunglasses. Ron sees John and Travis, then smiles and waves. They walk past Ron and ignore him. Ron sighs, then walks sullenly by passing students. Cindy, Barb, and Patty are gathered around a bench between a staircase and some vending machines. Ron walks up to the soda machine. As he inserts a quarter, Cindy, Barb, and Patty spot him, get up, and exit up the staircase. Other students also exit. Ron looks around to find himself alone. He shuffles away. Cindy re-enters at the top of the staircase and looks down sadly. Ron dejectedly carries a tray with a paper bag on it into the crowded dining yard. He looks around, then forces a smile as he walks into the picnic table area. Cindy, alone at her table, watches him wistfully. The other popular kids watch him sit at a table of skaters. They pick up their skateboards and leave Ron alone. Ricky sits next to John and looks on.
Yeah, bro. He's in Siberia.
I know, man. Mutants over there won't even go near him.
You know, I knew he was scamming us all along.
Cindy rolls her eyes.
He went from, like, totally chic to totally geek.
Look at that. He's been banished.
You should have known that our kind won't mix with their kind, man.
Our kind? Come on, their kind, that's BS. He may be a moral leper now, but he had the fast lane. 4 months.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, $250 a month for those cheerleaders isn't an unwise investment.
Yeah?
Quint molds a brownie into a ball.
Check this out.
Quint bites the tip off the grenade-shaped brownie and hurls it.
Incoming!
The brownie lands on Ron's tray. He looks up and sighs.
Direct hit.
Yo!
Quint high-fives John and Travis. An obese girl steps up behind Ron. He looks up at her.
Didn't you take economics? You could head me for $49.95.
Ron looks around dejectedly, then picks up his tray and walks off. Cindy, Barb, and Patty sit outside Scoops in their cheerleading outfits. Ron's car drives by. He has his head down so the car looks driverless.
It's the Nerdmobile.
Yeah, right, on automatic pilot. Like, we're not supposed to know he's spying on us in his spasmobile.
I sworn that a couple girls I knew got very comfortable in that spasmobile.
Patty and Barb shift uneasily. Barb shrugs and takes a bite of ice cream. A hand tilts an arcade set of handlebars as a pixelated motorcyclist jumps over a line of boulders. Ron steps inside to see Ken operating the game. Ron walks over, but Ken intently watches the game and ignores him. Ken drives the motorcycle off the road and hits a tree. Ron looks back and forth between Ken and the screen.
You could at least acknowledge my existence.
Ken clenches his jaw and stares at the game.
I think this is easy for me.
Ken ignores him. Ron takes a step back.
I know I was an asshole to you and to thousands of others, Kenneth. It's you I gotta straighten this out with.
Ken grabs Ron and slams him into a video game. He lifts his fist and then lowers it.
You shit on my house, man.
No.
Ken lets go and resumes playing.
You shit on my house!
Ron looks at Ken pleadingly. Ken looks away and trembles with hurt and anger.
You shit on my house. I know.
Ron flaps his arms and stares at Ken. Ron turns in resignation and walks out of the arcade. Ken continues to look off. Later, Mr. Webley stands in front of his blackboard and a poster of the human musculature.
The quiz will cover every muscle from the levator scapula to the spinalis thoracic. It will consist of 15 multiple choices and 5 mini essays. Your score will then account for 20% of your final grade. Good luck.
Ken looks out the classroom window at the cheerleaders. Later, Ron approaches Cindy in the hallway.
Hi, Cindy.
She walks ahead and ignores him. Ron follows right behind her. She turns and goes into the woman's room. Ron leans against the wall, looks up, and sighs. Three girls exit the bathroom and walk by Ron. He looks around warily, then sneaks up to the woman's room. He puts both hands on the door and gently opens it. Ron steps into the tile bathroom, then crouches and looks for feet under the line of stalls. He walks to a stall in the middle and puts his hand on the door.
I'm sorry about having to come in here, but I have to talk to you. I realize what a jerk I became.
He leans his face against the outside of the stall.
All I ever did was think about you. Dream about being part of your life.
He draws circles with his finger.
And then I got that stupid idea. And I let it turn me into something I'm not.
The matronly party chaperone steps furiously out of the stall.
You sure did, sicko pervert. I remember you from the dance. You morally depraved psycho. Detention, 1 month.
Cindy lowers her feet onto the ground.
Becky, will you please hand me that address?
Thanks.
A saleswoman at a makeup counter in the mall hands Cindy mascara. As Cindy examines it, Chucky walks over to her.
You nuked my brother.
What?
You took him from geek status to king status to no status.
Cindy nods.
Chucky Miller, right? He's resorted to sending his messenger boy.
Boy? I see no boy here.
Cindy picks up a powder puff and dabs Chucky's face, covering it with white powder.
You think you shut me up?
I didn't. Well, let me try again.
She reaches for him with lipstick. He pivots.
Babe said it was good for my complexion.
Cindy smiles as Chucky walks off. Ron sits cross-legged on his bed and studies a textbook in his lap. He grabs another book, then looks at a drawing of Cindy on an easel to his right. Cindy sits cross-legged on her bed and writes on a notepad.
Cynthia?
Cindy looks up as her mom enters.
Cindy? There's a call for you on my line. Somebody named Donald.
Cindy brushes her hair back.
I don't know anybody named Donald. Tell him I'm out of the country or something.
Okay.
Cindy stares off with her shoulders slumped. In his bedroom, Ron talks into the phone.
I know she's in the country, Mrs. Mancini. I saw her today.
Well, my daughter doesn't know anyone named... Ronald, is that you? Why did you say your name is Donald?
I guess I made a mistake. Bye-bye.
Mom, what did he say?
First he's a geek, and then you start going out with him. And then he's a geek again. Honey, I don't know what a geek is.
I guess at the present time, a geek is Ronald Miller.
Who says?
Mrs. Mancini shakes her head and frowns slightly. Cindy lifts her eyes in thought. In front of Cindy's house, Ron drives by some cacti on his lawnmower. In her bedroom, Cindy stirs from her sleep. The alarm clock says 5:59. She opens her eyes and looks at the clock. She gets out of the bed and clomps over to the window. She sees Ron standing on his lawnmower and attempting to stand on the handlebars as it moves.
Oh my God!
Ron jumps on and off the lawnmower as Cindy storms out.
Would you stop it?
Until I told her that you had a chemical imbalance and you are seeking psychiatric help.
I need to talk to you. Every time I called, you were either taking a bath, washing your hair, or you're out of the country. That was a good one, by the way. I tried to get you alone at school, but I got a month's detention.
Yeah, you're very big in bathrooms, aren't you?
He gets off the mower.
Cindy, just hear me out, and then I'll leave you alone, okay?
She nods.
Oh, you demolished me New Year's Eve. But see, I realized you did me a favor. You brought me back to reality. All I ever wanted to do was get close to you. And then, when I finally got there, it wasn't me anymore. Cindy. Oh, Cindy. I was just hoping we could sort this out, you know? The real me, and the real you, that's all.
Cindy shrugs with tears in her eyes.
Okay. But not at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, I'll come back at 11.
She looks back at him over her shoulder.
I'll be washing my hair. Out of the country.
That's my favorite one.
Cindy smiles sadly, then heads inside. Ron leans over his lawnmower and starts the engine. He immediately turns it off.
Tell your mom I'm sorry.
Ron leans into his lawnmower and pushes it out of the yard. At the high school lunch area, Ken sits with Patty as they look at her schoolwork.
Is that right?
Good job.
Really? Oh my God.
Ron sits against a palm tree and watches them. Quinn sits with John and Travis.
What's happening, guys? It's a nerd alert, man. It's in our quadrant, too.
Kenneth Werman with Patty?
No way.
Thanks so much. I swear I don't know what I would have done without you, really.
No problem. Just take your time and follow the steps.
Okay.
Kenneth Wormman is trying to pull a Ronald McDonald Miller scam on us. He's probably trying to pay her off.
Relax, but he's harmless.
I'm sending him back to the minor leagues.
Just be cool,
hey,
man.
Calm down.
Quint storms over.
Himself.
Dude, what do you think you're doing over here, Twimp?
I was helping him with some math.
No, bullshit. You're trying to pull a Ronald Miller scam.
A what?
You better get back to your own side, or I'm gonna send you back to Geeksville in a milk carton.
Did you guys do something?
John and Travis look down as Cindy glares at them. Ron grabs a baseball bat off a table and heads over.
Oh, Return of the Living Dread.
Why don't you lay off?
I want you to go back where you belong, Jose.
Take your hands off Kenneth, or I'll break your arm. Your pitching arm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, don't make me laugh, blonde boy.
Let go.
Quint maintains his grip on Ken.
No!
Ron smashes the bat against a table. Quint lets Ken go. The matronly teacher starts to step in, but Mr. Webley holds her back.
You broke your arm once before, remember? You fell out of our treehouse. Kenneth picked you up, and we carried you 12 blocks to the hospital.
Yeah, you cried all the way.
Ken grins at Quint.
We were all friends then, remember? And now you want to end his life? Because he's talking to Patty on your side of the cafeteria. Oh, man, it's stupid. I know, because that's where I wanted to be. On your side. With your crowd. But I messed up. See, I tried to buy my way in. But Kenneth, he's not trying to buy anybody. He's just trying to make friends. Being himself. Cools, nerds, your side, my side. Man, it's all bullshit. It's just tough enough to be yourself.
Quint stares at him thoughtfully. Ron flips the bat in his hand and offers Quint the handle. Quint takes it, then stares at the ground.
Sorry.
Ron pats Ken on the shoulder and walks away. Ken smiles. Cindy's gaze follows Ron as he picks up his lunch from the base of the palm tree and hops over a small wall. Ron leaves. Quint shifts his weight, then extends a hand to Ken.
Sorry.
Quint and Ken shake. John looks up from his tray and begins to clap. Others, including Ricky, begin to follow. Cindy looks around. The nerd table claps. The matronly teacher smiles as Mr. Webley claps. Quint and Ken lower their hands, and Quint returns to his table. Patty cries. Ken smiles and puts his hands in his pockets. Students stand and cheer. In front of Cindy's house, Ron enters from behind a tree and rides his lawnmower across the lawn. He takes off his black cowboy hat and wipes sweat from his forehead onto his arm. Ron looks at the front door as Cindy emerges. She walks along the paved walkway on the other side of a low wall. Ron comes to a stop as they meet at the end of the wall. Cindy carries a white envelope. She hands it to Ron.
This should cover it.
Ron stands on the front of the lawnmower and takes the envelope. He sticks it in the back pocket of his jeans and sits. Cindy looks down at Ron and his t-shirt with a picture of the Milky Way galaxy and an arrow with the words, "You are here."
Saw a crack in the moon last night.
Yeah, me too.
Barb and Patty sit in a convertible with three handsome men.
Hey, baby! Come on, let's go!
I gotta go, okay?
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ron shifts in his seat as he watches Cindy jog over to the convertible. Patty and Barb sit on the back of the car with their legs wrapped around two of the men. They whisper to each other as Cindy looks off uneasily, then gets in the passenger seat. Ron looks down at his lap. Patty waves to him.
Hi, Ronnie.
Barb smiles and waves. Ron gets off the lawnmower and starts the engine. He looks up and watches the convertible leave. Barb and Patty wave their arms excitedly. Ron rides the lawnmower along the paved walkway toward the street. He hangs his head as he turns out of the driveway.
Ronald!
Ron slams on the brakes and looks behind him.
Ronald!
Cindy takes nervous baby steps away from the car.
Go for it! Ronald!
Barb and Patty lift their arms as Cindy breaks into a run. Ron beams. Cindy climbs onto the lawnmower seat behind him. She puts on his hat.
Okay, let's get this deal straight. One last time. Now, you can have Saturday nights, but only if you ask me in advance.
Okay, I'm asking you in advance. Will you go to the prom with me?
I'm not gonna do that stupid dance.
Okay, how about kissing?
Yeah, it's important.
That's a must.
Definitely.
Cindy removes the cowboy hat and holds it out as Ron turns to her. They kiss as the lawnmower continues moving toward a purple horizon. She puts the hat back on and lifts her hand. The image freezes and the credits roll up over their silhouette.
I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love.
Apollo Pictures, Inc., copyright 1987. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. Audio description by Deluxe with funding by Disney. Voice by Tansy Alexander. A blue bar crosses a black background and condenses into a circle. Touchstone Pictures. A golden light slides along the letters and flashes into a lightning bolt through the circle.